Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Border issue. I like to know taxes on overtime, just for a better economy.
I'm ecstatic. I'm really looking forward to what's to come. I'm looking forward to Trump getting in there and turning the country back around.
My fear is more racial divide. People in lower communities and populations won't have the things that they need to survive.
I just couldn't sit and stand in one spot. I had to get out and get some air.
This is a magnificent victory for the American people that will allow us to make America great again.
It is November 6th, a Wednesday, a big day today after the election of yesterday, November 5th, 2024. It's Catholic Connection. Good to be with you on a Wednesday. We're going to sort through what happened overnight. Donald Trump is now the projected winner of the 2024 presidential election. We'll have more about this, obviously, in the news. The former president, now president-elect, defeating Vice President Harris in an election that came down to the swing states. Trump is now the second president in U.S. history to be elected to non-consecutive terms. Harris is expected to speak sometime this morning after losing her Democratic bid to become the first woman in the Oval Office. We're also going to be sorting this out with our friend Bill Donahue. He'll be joining us after the news and after the weather. Joan Lewis will be joining us from Rome, mainly to talk about, obviously, what's happening in the Vatican, but she may be weighing in on what European leaders are saying about the election of Donald Trump. We'll also have an update on that in the news. I do think it's important to make sure you stay tuned here to EWTN. There will be special coverage after this program of the election results right here on EWTN, so make sure you check that out. For all the information, always go to EWTN.com to get the latest. So again, Bill Donahue from the Catholic League, two segments with Bill this morning, and then we will head to Rome, as we always do, to speak with our very own Joan Lewis for the latest from the Eternal City. As far as the weather is concerned, we're watching that storm that turned into a hurricane. We have strong Santa Ana winds that will bring critical to extremely critical fire weather conditions to portions of California. That will happen today and move into Friday. As we mentioned, Rafael has strengthened into a hurricane and is expected to enter the Gulf of Mexico by Thursday. Tropical storm warnings have been issued for parts of the Florida Keys, but they say it's too soon to determine any northern Gulf Coast impacts. So there's still a lot happening in the election. We don't know, for example, where Michigan has gone because they're holding out on that information. It was extremely close in my home state, the Great Lakes state of Michigan. Trump did take Pennsylvania, which was a big win for him. And we took back the Senate in terms of the Republicans and conservatives taking back the Senate. Let's see what else happened. We're still waiting to see what the House is reporting. But that's the latest. And we will look at this from a truly Catholic perspective in terms of how are we to react to this. What can we do to work with people on both sides trying to do that, but also those who may not agree with us fully, such as we discussed yesterday with particular candidates who may not be all there when it comes to, or being all in when it comes to, the pro-life movement, but having an opportunity to at least work with some of these now newly elected people who will take office next year to hopefully get them to see the light in terms of how sacred life is from womb to tomb. And as we also discussed yesterday, and we'll talk about this with Bill, the idea of limiting evil, that you're never going to have a perfect candidate, but in many cases you can vote for someone if you look at the big picture, if you pray, if you study, and you work out your salvation in fear and trembling, as St. Paul reminds us this morning in Philippians 2:12. You can make a decision that could have a very good impact for a long time. Not easy, very difficult choices, but we need to work with those who are going to be in office very soon and hopefully help them understand the truth. And we in the Catholic Church have the fullness of truth. It's 4 minutes past the hour. Let's get started with the news on a Wednesday morning, the day after the election. This newscast that we're about to enter into is sponsored by our friends at houseofjoppa.com. Well, as we just mentioned, former President Trump taking a victory lap, and a big one, overnight.
Well, I want to thank you all very much. This is great. These are our friends. We have thousands of friends in this incredible movement. This was a movement like nobody's ever seen before.
While speaking to his supporters in Palm Beach, Florida, the future president said his projected victory was the greatest political movement of all time. Trump said he overcame many obstacles to beat Kamala Harris in the 2024 presidential election. Meanwhile, as Catholic News Agency reports, a Catholic vote yesterday broke for former President Donald Trump by a large margin nationwide and within swing states in the 2024 presidential election. That's according to exit polls published by The Washington Post, The Associated Press, and NBC News as well. According to The Washington Post exit poll, Trump won the national Catholic vote by a 15-point margin, 56% to 41%. This shows, they say, a much larger victory for Trump among Catholic voters than post-2020 exit polls, which showed Trump with only a 5-point lead above President Joe Biden, 52% to 47%. And the shift represents as well a 10-point swing in favor of Trump from 2020 to 2024. The Washington Post also finding that 69% of voters who believe abortion should be legal in or almost cases voted for Kamala Harris, but Trump managed to win 28% of voters who also held that same view. Trump's also winning 90% of voters who believe abortion should be legal, again, in all or most cases, and Harris won 9% of voters who held that view. Harris, meanwhile, is expected to speak sometime this morning after losing her Democratic bid to become the first woman in the Oval Office. Her campaign co-chair, Cedric Richmond, telling supporters gathered last night at her election night watch party that Harris will make remarks this morning at her alma mater, Howard University. She graduated from Howard in 1986 with a degree in political science and economics. And again, Donald Trump is now the president-elect. On early Wednesday, the Republican candidate securing more than enough electoral votes to win yesterday's general election. Trump defeating Vice President Kamala Harris to become only the second president in our nation's history to be elected to non-consecutive terms. Again, in that victory speech, he said America is about to enter a golden age and vowed to deliver a prosperous America. Abortion rights protections were passed in 8 U.S. states on Tuesday. Arizona, Colorado, Nebraska, Maryland, Missouri, Montana, Nevada, and New York all passed measures that would amend their state constitutions to establish a woman's right to abortion. Two other states rejected an abortion amendment. A near total ban will remain in effect in South Dakota and in Florida. Most abortions will continue to be banned after 6 weeks. But that proposed abortion amendment in Florida did fail to pass, bringing an end to an effort to enshrine broad abortion access in the state constitution and serving abortion advocates with a major defeat in this year's election. The failure of Amendment 4, as Catholic News Agency explains, offers a sharp rebuke to the pro-abortion lobby, which poured more than $100 million into Florida alone in an effort to enshrine abortion in that state constitution and negate the state's Heartbeat Protection Act, one of the most pro-life laws in the country. Prior to the vote yesterday, there were indications that the measure might fail. Less than a week before Election Day, polling did indicate that support for the ballot measure was just short of the required 60% needed to pass. Liz Kennedy tells us former President Donald Trump also won the key battleground states of Georgia and North Carolina this time around.
Early Wednesday morning, NBC News reported that Donald Trump was the winner in Georgia. During election night, Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger said that if you look at who's leading the race right now, Trump has an insurmountable lead. He adds, with the number of votes outstanding, it looks like this is done. And it appears Raffensperger was right. The former president also won the key swing state of North Carolina. It's become a hotly contested battleground in past elections, but Trump won the state in both 2016 and 2020, and now in 2024. Georgia and North Carolina are two of the seven swing states that helped Trump win the presidential election.
World leaders, meanwhile, congratulating Donald Trump over his projected victory yesterday. Ukraine's President Zelensky saying on X that he appreciated Trump's commitment to peace through strength. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu calling the turn of events a powerful recommitment to the great alliance between Israel and the United States. And the Secretary General of NATO saying he looks forward to working with Donald Trump to advance peace. while the Prime Minister of Hungary said it is a much-needed victory for the entire world. Michael Kastner tells us voters are approving measures in eight states that target non-citizen voting.
NBC News projects constitutional amendments that make it clear that only American citizens can vote in elections were approved in the eight states they appeared on the ballot. Measures passed even though federal law already makes it illegal for non-citizens to vote. States that approved the measures were Idaho, Iowa, Kentucky, Missouri, North Carolina, Oklahoma, South Carolina, and Wisconsin.
The markets were up sharply before the opening bell this morning after Donald Trump was declared the projected winner of the presidential election. Dow Jones Industrial Average futures jumping more than 1,200 points or nearly 3%. S&P 500 futures up around 130 points as of this morning or about 2.2%. NASDAQ futures were up about 340 points, nearly 1.7%. And California has overwhelmingly approved a measure that would increase the penalties for crimes such as shoplifting and drug-related offenses. Proposition 36 had more than 70% support with nearly 9 million votes counted so far. The measure was seen as a backlash to light penalties in the state. And Mark Mayfield reports that Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is now firing his defense minister.
This comes after Netanyahu and Yoav Gallant have reportedly been at odds over the conduct of the war in the Gaza Strip and Lebanon. Gallant is being replaced by Foreign Minister Israel Katz. In a statement, Netanyahu said the trust between himself and Gallant has cracked over the last few months. The prime minister said most members of the cabinet and the government in Israel share the same sense of crisis of trust with the now former defense minister.
At least four people are dead after floods in Missouri yesterday. Storms brought as much as 10 inches of rain to some places and two small tornadoes. Two of the dead were poll workers, a husband and wife killed when their vehicle was swept away near Mainz, about 50 miles east of Springfield. There were also two deaths in St. Louis County. The governor, Mike Parson, has activated the state's emergency action plan to help with the recovery efforts. And Hurricane Rafael barreling toward Cuba and could be headed toward the U.S. Rafael is now the 11th hurricane of the 2024 season and one of the few to happen in the month of November. It is currently packing winds of 90 miles an hour, about 190 miles southeast of Havana. The National Hurricane Center says the Florida Keys could experience, as we mentioned in the weather forecast earlier, tropical storm conditions starting this evening. Tomorrow, the storm is then expected to turn west over the Gulf of Mexico, possibly moving as well toward the U.S. Gulf Coast. Kroger has settled with 30 states that sued over the company's involvement in the opioid crisis. As a result, the company will now be paying nearly $1.4 billion to those states. And the Broward County School Board in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, is inviting the public, or did invite the public, to sound off at their workshop of the new cell phone ban. Board Chair Lori Adelhoff says two and a half months, they are getting an awful lot of really good feedback.
Students are able to really focus in their classrooms with what their teachers are teaching them about and not to be distracted.
But critics say it's far too restrictive and they want students to be able to use their phones during breaks and at lunch. The ban prohibits students from using phones from morning bell until dismissal unless there's an emergency. Headphones such as AirPods are also banned in that district. And finally, in our news segment this morning on a Wednesday, November 6, 2024, Bree Tennis tells us if you're trying to sell or buy a home, the time may be now with details on the election housing connection.
Real estate website Zillow says now that the election is over, home buying will pick up. They say it doesn't really matter who wins, just that the event is over. Psychology Today says the delay to purchase is all in your head because historically home prices and mortgage rates are unlikely to change in the coming days or even weeks after the election. Realtor.com says 23% of home buyers wait until after the election to the path of home ownership because it's a confidence game.
It is a Wednesday morning, November 6th. Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN, day after the big election, 2024. And we are sorting things out with the one, the only Bill Donahue, especially the interesting results in Catholic News Agency, as I mentioned in the newscast, has a very detailed story in terms of how the Catholic vote went this time around. We'll discuss in detail with the one, the only, Bill Donahue from the Catholic League, and get his take on the legacy media. I was just watching a very interesting montage, as we say in the business. It's a clip of different sound bites that are rolled together of various media pundits and how off base they were in terms of the reality in the situation, and I want to get Bill's take on that. Again, it's a Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in. We have special election coverage all day long here on EWTN, especially right after this program, so make sure you stay tuned. More Catholic Connection coming your way in a few minutes. We'll be right back.
Steve Ray here. Next year's a Jubilee year, and we're going to celebrate it in Rome, but not only Rome. This is our Saints and Shrines of Italy pilgrimage, and joining us is our good friend Teresa Tomeo.
Yes, Steve, fantastico. Walking through the holy doors, immersing ourselves in the deeply Catholic culture of Italy. I'll be joining you and Janet in Florence and Assisi.
Join us this May for the Jubilee year, from Milan to Florence and much more, all the way to Rome.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Catholic Connection is sponsored by House of Joppa. House of Joppa's mission is to share the beauty of our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith in our homes through Catholic home decor, art, candles, statues, rosaries, and Catholic jewelry. They're gifts designed to help you live out your Catholic faith. For more information, go to houseofjoppa.com. That's houseofjoppa, J-O-P-P-A.com.
More of Catholic Connection coming up on EWTN and Ave Maria Radio.
Probably one of the best experts on what's happening in our culture, the amazing Bill Donahue. He's a sociologist, author, speaker, heads of Catholic League. So, Bill, it's interesting to me that the polls were saying all along it was so close, it was so close, and yet you have Trump now projected to be the president-elect, to go back in office, take term for a second time in January. And then you also have him now winning the popular vote. So something is off here. I did see an interesting interview with some pollsters, some pundits saying that the media weren't really being honest about what was happening. What's your take on the results of the election, first of all, and thanks for joining us?
Well, I think that basically comes down to policy and persona. In terms of policy, the Democrats have become the party of extremism. And Republicans will lose if they become the party of extremism. But when Trump was in, the border was secure, the economy was good, we weren't at war. They've destroyed all that. And the American people, when she picked up walls, that didn't help matters either. So that hurt them, the policy of extremism. You know, guys like James Carville said that she needs to do a better job in messaging. Now, James was wrong. She had no message. That was the problem. This is the most vapid candidate who ever ran for president of the United States. So I think if you put the policies of extremism and you couple them with the vapid personality, she couldn't answer any question about anything. That does it. Now, let me give you one example here. The polls say, oh, both of them are regarded as unfavorable. I looked at 538 Nate Silver yesterday. Her unfavorable was higher, 2 points higher than her favorable. In the case of Trump, his unfavorable was 8 points higher than his favorable. So they say, well, that's why Trump can't win. And I like to say to my staff here, look, Billy Martin in baseball, Bobby Knight in basketball, Bill Belichick in football, not likable guys, but yet they won. So the American people may not like Trump in terms of his personality, but he's a leader. He can govern. He's a winner. She doesn't possess those characteristics. And so the idea of coupling, just asking about favorability and not asking about effectiveness, leadership skills, and the like, simply misses the point. The pollsters simply aren't smart enough to figure out what's really on the pulse of the American people.
That's a great point. I was listening to a commentary on CNN with one of the commentators who I think is much more conservative, Scott Jennings, talking about that the media, it's a wake-up call for the media because they missed the fundamentals. They were not talking about the issues or covering the story from the perspective of what the about which the American people were concerned. They weren't talking about the border. They weren't talking about immigration. Again, they weren't talking about the economy. That the media were hanging on the issues that they wanted the American people to accept. And they do this over and over again, Bill. They never learn their lesson. Look, we're not expecting them to side with Republicans. We're expecting them to do their jobs and interview people. Go out there. Do the old, you know, man on the street interviews like I used to do for 20 years when I was a reporter. And then put that out there. They have a different difference of opinion, but that's the idea. Where are the American people? What are they concerned about? That was not done, and it was done horribly by the legacy media.
You're right. This is a perfect example of the chasm, the gap between the elites, the ruling class, and the public, the average Joe. The media, the celebrities, that's all she did. She hung around with the celebrities. The media gave her cover. She got all the money. Bill Gates just gave her $50 million last week, and before that, Michael Bloomberg gave her $50 million. There's $100 million right there. They got awash with money. George Soros gave more than either one of them. And then, of course, the college university professors. Now, what did the media and the celebrities and the money crowd and the college and university professors have in common? They live. It's a ghetto. They live in a bubble. They reinforce each other's prejudices. Michael Moore came out just yesterday and said Trump is toast. Well, only somebody who lives in a ghetto would say that. They really have to meet the people. It's very good to meet the American people. They should go to barbershops. They should go to bars, especially bars. They should go to all kinds of places, go to malls and meet with people and talk to them. But they don't. They live in their gated communities with their private security. They send their kids to the rich private schools. They won't send them. They're against school choice to help out blacks and the like. I mean, and the only minorities they associate with are those of the upper class. They have nothing but contempt for the average American. They hate the working class, that's for sure. And now the bloodletting will start, because all the finger-pointing will not be between Republican and Democrat. It'll be Democrat versus Democrat. And they're all going to be blaming each other as to why they failed. And if they don't actually clean out the what's now the Schumer AOC wing. Used to be that Schumer was the moderate. He went over there with AOC. That's where he laid anchor. I don't know who the moderates are left in the Democratic Party who are leaders, but whoever's left, they have to try and pull them back. Either that or they'll never win another election.
Talking with Bill Donahue, of course, president of the Catholic League, author, noted speaker, and sociologist. So the numbers for Catholics were very interesting. I want to get your take on this. This is a story on Catholic News Agency this morning, Bill. The Catholic vote on Tuesday broke for former President Donald Trump by a large margin nationwide and within swing states in the 2024 presidential election. This, according to exit polls published by the Washington Post, Associated Press, and NBC News. According to the numbers, Trump won the national Catholic vote by a 15-point margin, 56-41%, showing a much larger victory for Trump among Catholic voters than the post-2020 exit polls. So what do you think?
I don't think it has anything to do with abortion, I'll tell you that, because if you dig down in that poll, you'll see that Catholics, unfortunately, are still very mixed on abortion. So it has to be something other than abortion. That other has to be religious liberty. And to be explicit, not only have there been unparalleled attacks on religious liberty by Biden-Harris, but the entire transgender thing, that's a sleeper. But that's right there. When you dig down on religious liberty, that's a sleeper. That's right there. The idea that the boys can compete against the girls and destroy women's sports and then share the locker rooms and showers with them, only somebody who's out of his mind would agree with something like that. So that's, and then the idea of forcing Catholic doctors and hospitals to perform sex reassignment surgeries and abortions, and the idea that Kamala came out and said that we have to have federal funds for illegal aliens who are in prison so that they can change their sex. I mean, these are ideas of extremism, but they all touch on religious liberty. And that's why I think the Catholics, by a large margin, decided we can't go down this road any further.
We still have a lot of work to do in our own church about the pro-life issues, though, don't we?
Oh, yeah, we do. Although, again, I have to say, Teresa, it's not the rank and file, the people who pay the bills and go to church on Sunday who are the problem. They are overwhelmingly pro-life. It's the Catholics who say they're Catholic in a poll, but who rarely go to church, who become secular-minded. So that's where the problem is, and I don't see that changing too quickly. All we have to do is basically make sure we don't lose any more of the faithful who are the bread and butter of the Catholic Church. And we also need a clergy to step up and become more vocal. They're way, way too timid for me.
Talking with Bill Donahue, we'll take a quick break and we'll continue our conversation. When we come back, Bill is taking a look at the fallout from this in terms of the U.S. Supreme Court, what this will mean in the future. He did put out a statement this morning. I want to direct you to his website, CatholicLeague.org. Again, we're taking a look at the election results, and EWTN will have special coverage beginning right after this show at 10 o'clock Eastern Time, so I hope you can stay tuned. We'll be back. More with Bill Donahue on a Wednesday morning, the day after the presidential election.
Father Benedict Rochelle.
There are legitimate differences of opinion in any religion. There are differences of opinion in Catholicism. But in Catholicism, you expect that people will take the teaching of its supreme authority seriously. To go diametrically opposed to those teachings is to not be a Catholic. Someone in the name of Catholicism is sponsoring the destruction of human life, lives of unborn children. And he got the name Catholic on the door. The highest authority in Catholicism and the encyclical Humanae Vitae, Evangelium Vitae, is absolutely clear that no Catholic can support abortion and that Catholics are responsible to take serious action against legalized abortion.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
He always starts with the good things. You know, the seven letters to the churches and the book of Revelation is a great way to write letters to other people, by the way, or to have conversations with other people. You start with what's going well. You do this, this, and this really well. I love it. Thank you. Here's what you're lacking. And I think for many of us as men, what the Lord's communicating at that second part of the letter or the second part of the conversation is, here's what we're lacking. You don't ever spend enough time with me. You have no idea what I'm trying to offer you in the gift of my friendship. Or if you do, you don't make time for it. And if you would but come to me, I would change your life like that. But you don't come. Not with the regularity that I want you to come. Not with the ardor and the fervor and the passion that I want you to come. I have a hunch, more than a hunch, that's what he says to me. And I got a hunch that's what he would say to many of us.
Taking a look at what we know so far, the election results, especially the presidency, the U.S. Senate, still waiting for the House and also still waiting for a few swing states, including my own home state of Michigan. It was very, very close last time I checked, talking with Bill Donahue of the Catholic League, CatholicLeague.org. So, Bill, your statement this morning is talking about next up new Supreme Court justices, your reaction from the presidential election. What are your thoughts?
Right. Well, we've certainly... The religious liberty fans, that would be us, we've won the White House and looks very good in the Senate and possibly even the House. There's another branch of government. And now is the time to be greedy. Now is the time to get more. Because the left is not going to go away. Neither are we. But as much as I love Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito, I think they're magnificent men who have been the victims of the incredible vitriol. Thomas is 76, Alito is 74. I think the time is to step down after the new year. And if Trump can appoint people as good, I don't think he can do any better than Alito and Thomas. I love them both. But if you can get people who are just as good as them or almost as good as them, he will have locked in the Supreme Court for decades because he's already given us Amy Coney Barrett, Neil Gorsuch, and Brett Kavanaugh. And while Roberts, the Supreme Court Justice, is not always with us, He mostly is on religious liberty. And, you know, during the break, we mentioned about religious liberty, and you mentioned about how she came out against religious exemptions recently.
Right.
Again, that filters into why the Catholics voted for a 56-41 for Trump. Who in the world is in favor of all kinds of choice when it comes to abortion? But when it comes to choices in terms of religious people, do we have a chance to opt out of anything anymore? And you want to take away exemptions? That clearly had to be on the mind of a lot of Catholics.
I also think, and don't you, if you look at the numbers of where people were going with increased Latino voters, increased African-American voters supporting Trump who didn't support him or other Republicans in the past, I think they're starting to realize that they've been sold a bill of goods by the left.
Oh, I think that's clear. Young people, for example, much higher with Trump than what happened 4 years earlier. Clearly, that is the case with Latinos and even blacks, I think like 25% or something like that in Georgia. Muslims in Michigan, in Dearborn, and Hamtramck, clearly coming out for Trump. And for two reasons. One, on foreign policy. Well, they may not be in his corner 100% on foreign policy. They know that he is more capable of bringing an end to the war in the Middle East than she is. That's one reason. The other one is, I mentioned again, that sleeper with regard to religious liberty. Muslims want nothing to do with the LGBT radical agenda. They're better than Catholics, better than Protestants, better than Jews. And they put up a big stop sign there. And that's one of the reasons, one of the big reasons why they shifted and went for Trump. Because that issue means a lot to them, and it should mean a lot more to other people as well, particularly Catholics. And hopefully it will, because I regard this as the greatest example of child abuse of our age. And it's the elites, as usual, in our country, who want to prey on young people, on minors who are sexually confused, and get them to change their sex, which they can't do technically, but that's what they want them to do, to go through chemical castration and mutilate their bodies. The Muslims get it on this, and hopefully Catholics and others will catch up.
Do you think, and by the way, we're chatting with Bill Donahue from the Catholic League, CatholicLeague.org, has several statements, including the one we're discussing, or just discussed, regarding the Supreme Court and the election. Do you think this will be somewhat or even a little bit of a wake-up call for the media? Because they tried so hard. And look, their job is not to go all Republican or all Democrat. Their job is to go out there and to put the information forward. We saw what happened with 60 Minutes and so many other examples of news operations. I'm not talking about talk show hosts. That's a different dynamic, because talk show hosts can come out and be like, we're Catholic. We make no bones about the fact that we're Catholic. And we exist to uphold and to teach the Catholic faith. But if you're identifying yourself as a news organization and a news reporter, a journalist, you are not supposed to be an advocate. You're supposed to be a reporter. And yet they dug in their heels. Institutions such as 60 Minutes, who have been around for a long time, still dug in their heels and wouldn't give the transcript of that interview with Kamala Harris. Do you think there's going to be any type of a wake-up call with them?
Very slight. Very slight. I think they're hopeless. And that's because not only do they live in their own ghetto, but their arrogance and their smugness, they are absolutely convinced that they are right and we are wrong. I remember when I was a professor in Pittsburgh, when Reagan won in 80 and then he won again in 84, and then Bush, 41, won in 88. When you walked into the college, you thought you were walking into a funeral parlor. They're all Liz Cheney type people. They never smile. They don't know how to laugh. They're not light. They just take everything so seriously. It's all about politics. They never learn. They're hopeless people, and they're going to continue to live in their ghetto. So I see some changes around the edges. I mean, CNN brought in Scott Jennings as a panelist. Mm-hmm. That's due to Bart Thompson, who ran the New York Times and the BBC before that. You'll see a few changes there. I think you'll bring in more conservative voices in CNN. But your point was more on the news reporting. Every day... when I'm getting dressed, I listen to Wins Radio, CBS, here in New York, and every day, Trump falsely said. Harris never speaks falsely about anything. Never. So I don't, you can even feel it in their voice this morning. They're in a state of stupor. Not the Catholic League. We're going out for pizza and beer today for lunch, and I mean it. So it's time to celebrate. And that's what we do at the Catholic League. We're Catholics. We like our beer.
And wine. Don't forget the wine. I know you're Irish,
but come on. That's all I drink is red wine and beer.
But listen, I think it's super important that the media be respectfully and in a Christ-like manner taken to task. I know in many cases they're not going to change, but at what point do you look in the mirror and say, hey guys, we were way off. There's something amiss here. When you have all these people, as you said, like Michael Moore is saying Trump is toast, you know, what's her face? Whoopi Goldberg on The View saying that when she was introducing Kamala Harris, this is the next president of the United States. Another host on The View saying it's going to be a blowout, and it's just the opposite. I think they deny reality because the numbers could not have been this close, Bill, with this result, not with winning both the electoral votes and the popular vote.
Well, that's right. And remember, you know, this is not breaking news. We've known this for some time. But there are a lot of Trump supporters who, for very good reasons, are reticent when they discuss things with pollsters. They've been stigmatized. They've been marginalized. They don't want to admit it. How, if you were a Latino or black and you voted for Trump, you really would admit that to a pollster, even at an exit poll, because of the way the elites are the ones who run everything, and they look at you with scorn. So I think it's better that people, you know, so they underreport. And the media never make that correction. But I think the real story before any changes take place in the media is in the Democratic Party. Who in the Democratic Party? I don't know who it is. But some man or woman has to step up and say, listen, this is the most extreme ticket in the history of America, and we got our clock cleaned. We've got to get some new leadership. We have to move to the center. We can't be the policy of extremism anymore, the party of extremism. And that's where the bloodletting is going to take place. But you're going to need somebody to step and do it. But Manchin is out, so it's not going to be him. But somebody's going to have to, because otherwise they're just going to continue to self-destruct. This is a party which is in free fall. It is in a state of self-destruction.
Bill, thanks so much. What's up next from the Catholic League? I know you'll continue to cover the results of the election as we move forward.
Well, I'm going to be very much interested in very much what we've been talking about and analyzing the polls, because it's not over yet. It looks like the Trump victory will soar even higher. And I'm looking at the demographics, who voted what, which way, and what. And, of course, to keep tabs on the fact checkers. We like to fact check the fact checkers because they're usually wrong.
Thank you, my friend. Have a great day. Bill Donahue from the Catholic League, and we look forward to having you on very soon, hopefully within the next week, to take a look at where we are following yesterday's election. We'll be right back.
What are the three parables Jesus tells about prayer in St. Luke's Gospel? The first is what the Catechism calls the importunate friend. This is the friend who wakes a pal at midnight in order to borrow three loaves of bread to feed a visitor. The second parable the Catechism labels the importunate widow, who persistently pleads for her rights from a reluctant judge till the wearied judge rules in her favor. This parable illustrates the need to pray always and with the patience of faith. Jesus closes this parable with the poignant question, when the Son of Man comes, will he find any faith on the earth? The third parable centers on the Pharisee and the tax collector, commending the tax collector for his humility because he asked God to be merciful to me, a sinner, a prayer which the church adopts as its own. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
We just did our parish mission a couple weeks ago now, and I suggested that in the course of the mission that we do something like a little mini spiritual assessment of our lives. I don't have to show this to anybody, but a great chance for us just to, with real honesty, just between us and Jesus, ask ourselves some questions. First question, given the fact that half of Catholics don't think God is even personal, would be to ask ourselves that. Do I think God is personal? And then to ask myself, do I think a relationship with Jesus is possible? Do I have a relationship with Jesus? And if so, what's it look like? And then perhaps a little bit more awkwardly or painfully, to ask Jesus, from his perspective, what's the friendship that we have with him look like? How would he describe our friendship with him? That might be a hard conversation to have.
Oh, Welcome back. Wrapping up a Wednesday, as we always do, as we head to the eternal city of Rome. Joan Lewis joining us, of course, from right near the Vatican. Joan, I haven't seen, I know that some world leaders are reacting to the election yesterday of Donald Trump as of the projected president for 2025, of course, 47th president. But I haven't seen, Georgia Maloney, has she weighed in yet? I haven't seen anything yet.
Oh, as a matter of fact, I never thought to look for her because I've been on the Vatican website to see mm-hmm. if the Holy Father might have added something today at the general audience, or if, just offhand, or if the Holy See Vatican Secretary of State had said something. Actually, normally she appears, what she says, and I'll check that as we're on the air, a lot of her news comes on WhatsApp. And so right. Every single day when she makes a statement on something, it's on WhatsApp, and I'll see if there's anything on that as we, but you're right, I haven't heard anything from her yet. So, but it's been, I've seen the stock market just opened a few minutes ago, and I want to tell you, if you got into the stock market yesterday for the first time, you're going to think today you died and went to heaven. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable rise in four digits, as a matter of fact, over 1,200 points. So, I mean, the stock market just opened, so we shall see where it goes. There's hours yet to go, but in any event, the celebrations seem to be worldwide. The, as you mentioned, all the world leaders, east and west, the congratulations that have been made, and most people recognizing, Teresa, what you and I know, just from what we've seen, read, heard, all the statistics, this seems to be truly some kind of historic election in America, both mm-hmm. the popular vote and the Electoral College vote. And then today, one of the things that struck me was in the U.S. elections, Catholic voters supported Trump over Harris. Now, that was a headline in La Croix, Catholic magazine, Catholic site international. And it says, according to early exit polls published by the Washington Post on November 5th, Republican president-elect Donald Trump received a much higher margin of support from Catholics than he did in 2020. Mm-hmm. Does mm-hmm. this represent an ideological shift among traditionally Democrat-leaning Catholics? What does it mean? So the poll that the Post showed that 56% of Catholic voters supported Trump compared to 41% for Harris. And this was a very strong evolution compared to the 2020 election, when 52% of Catholics supported Biden, of course, a Catholic president, compared to 47% for Trump at the time. So, one of the many things to be looked at as you and I are reading and seeing and television, hearing on the radio, all the different groups in America, Latinos and black voters, men, women, etc. It's going to be parsed for quite some time on the changes that will have been made, in particular the movement, I think we can call it, from the Democrats to Republicans in groups that were always traditionally Democrat. So you have to ask yourself, why? Was it simply a combination of factors? I'd like to think that people used common sense and reasoning in their vote instead of passion. I mean, I wrote about my vote yesterday on my blog, and I really was worried that so many people, and there could have been some people out there, that they listened to movie stars or rock singers or sports figures who were advising people, you've got to vote for Kamala Harris. I don't care who they said we should vote for. That, the difference between their life and mine.
Thank you. Thank you. Exactly.
The economic, mm-hmm. Yes, the economic difference between me and a rock star who is not going to look at how much gas costs for their car,
how much groceries cost or be affected by anything that happens at the border. That to me is such a great statement, because whether they're saying you should have voted for a Republican, an independent, a Democrat, who are you? You are so far removed. The George Clooney's, the Julia Roberts, the Lady Gaga's, the Oprah Winfrey's, the Taylor Swift. She's a billionaire now, Taylor Swift. All of these people, Tom Hanks, Harrison Ford. No, you have to vote this way. We're telling you how to vote. No. Again, whether you said we had to re-vote one way or the other, you are not going to be affected by the fallout of the election either way, because you are set for life financially.
Exactly. And Teresa, basically, all of these, you know, headliners that we've just mentioned, and those whose names we haven't given, they're basically saying to me and to you and a whole bunch of us, you guys just don't have any common sense. You don't have enough common sense to vote. My common sense is going to be in my wallet. It's also going to be on pro-life issues. It's going to be on economic issues, in the sense of I want everybody to be able to live well and with human dignity.
Right.
The migration issue had to be the border issue, a very important one. And the thing is, my grandparents came to this country, and you have talked about your family, you know, for a long, long time, being, you know, first and second generation. So immigration made the country great in the first place. And so we want people to come in, but there are laws. You and I both know, in Italy, there are laws for people coming to the country, coming legally, if you want
to. Oh, my goodness. We had to go to the Questura on Monday. We had to go to the immigration office again, and it is not easy. And we're only applying for a temporary residency, and we have to renew that every year. And we have to fill out all of these forms. They make sure that everything is up to date. It's very difficult. We have to wait. It's very complicated, very complicated. And that's fine. I mean, I this is their country. They have a right to tell us what we have to do, but you have to follow the law.
Absolutely. And Teresa, we could multiply that by any number of countries in Western Europe, in the Middle East, in Eastern. They all have specific legal, and I say that in capital letters, requirements for not just entering the country, obviously, as a tourist. And in many cases, you do have to have a legal visa. But for wanting to live and work in a country, there are specific requirements. You have to meet those. So why should we be a country that just says to people, hey, come on in and don't worry about a thing, because, by the way, whether you work or not, we're going to take care of you. So, and that doesn't happen in other countries. You know, you and I, health care, et cetera, in Italy. I mean, there's things to do to have health care, and by the way, you do pay. So it's all a question that was one of the questions that was on many, many people's minds and should have been. And I sense a huge vote in this historic vote, certainly the popular numbers in Trump's favor. I just sense people whose entire heart and mind with good judgment went to the polls and voted sincerely. I just don't feel there was any irrational exuberance, but very, very good common sense. So we certainly have to be grateful. I know that I've been praying for the right victory. I feel more prayers in gratitude are now given. We can't just ask the Lord to help us and to inspire people to do good, but we also have to thank the Lord when indeed people have done good.
There is a statement. Andrew sent me a statement from Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni here in Italy.
Oh, good.
Congratulating Donald Trump after he claimed victory in the U.S. presidential election and hailed the unshakable ties between the two countries. Italy and the United States are sister nations linked by an unshakable alliance, common values, and a historic friendship. It is strategic, a bond which I am sure we will now strengthen even more, she wrote on X. And her deputy prime minister said, patriotism, border control, tax cuts, Christian roots, freedom of speech, commitment to world peace, common sense, passion, and hope win in the USA. What a historic day. And that was Matteo Salvini. So more comments are coming in from around the world. Has there been any comments from the Vatican on this at all yet?
No, that's the very last thing I searched just before we came online. Of course, I'm on the Vatican site right now. I've been clicking on Pope thinking he might have said something at the audience, as I said a moment ago. But even when I go to Vatican, which might have statements from the Secretary of State or something, I don't find anything in that sense. So that's where any comment would have been placed. Or I will go to my email, because if the press office has anything, they would send it to the journalist immediately. Let's see if I have anything. Nothing from the press office, no. So if that comes later, obviously I'll post it on my blog and Facebook and everything else. But I know that for many, many things, Teresa, we always kind of talk seriously and sometimes almost laughingly about how slow the Vatican, the Catholic Church, can act or react to things, and they do so with utter, total caution. So I'm sure that a very positive and yet diplomatically safe message is being worked on at the Vatican. So, because if you remember, the Pope came out, and I should have done research on this. The Pope came out at one point. He was, I don't remember if he was asked a question in an interview, but he came out that neither of the two candidates in the United States, well, of course they're not saints, they're not perfect, but you more or less had to vote for the lesser of two evils, which he didn't exactly state who was which. But I don't remember the Holy Father, and I certainly can be wrong and should, you know, research this. I don't remember if he ever came out on a candidate in for election in France or Spain or England or anything. But in any event, I suppose given his words on our election, that the Secretary of State is being, again, careful and cautious as it composes something to come from the Vatican, because they can't not say anything. So,
Yeah, I wondered that because I know there is concern, and there are some surveys that were done here. I don't know in the U.S. if you saw them or not. People were very concerned about what would happen after the election, and regardless of who won, they're very concerned about more problems in the streets, more crime, more riots. And so I'm wondering if the Pope may have come out, apparently not yet, calling for peace following the election in the United States. So far, it's been, I haven't seen anything. It's been very quiet. So we will follow this. Last but not least, how is the construction going down there in Rome in terms of all the changes? How is it doing with the crowds and the construction for the Jubilee year? Has things settled down at all?
The crowds are still here. I mean, heavens, we're in November, and the crowds, there are still massive crowds all around the city, as I see when I have to be in the center of Rome or on my way to my parish for something. So there are crowds. Looks like the city's getting ready, except for the physical things, Teresa, the things you and I talked about in past weeks, the all the scaffolding that is up around statues. And, in fact, the statues, if you have seen these pictures, maybe I mentioned it last week, the statues of Peter and Paul, the gigantic statues in St. Peter's Square, are all covered as if they're being cleaned. The altar of the chair, the massive sculpted group behind the actual altar, that is all covered in canopy, and I'm sure will be, however, I trust the Vatican to be more ready than the city of Rome. And I'm sure all of that scaffolding will be down by December 7th, when the Holy Father creates the new cardinals, 21 new cardinals. And then, obviously, on Sunday, December 8th, Feast of the Immaculate Conception, there will be the Mass with the College of Cardinals and the new cardinals in St. Peter's Basilica. So I know when it comes to that kind of of work being done, certainly in St. Peter's Basilica and the square, I very much trust that everything will be ready in time. Not sure about the city of Rome. It just it really breaks my heart, too, because anybody coming here for the first time that wants to walk around and see so many.
They're not going to see anything. They're not going to see the Pietà covered so much. Well, hopefully it will be done in time for the Jubilee year. I could talk to you forever, and we'll continue next week. Our very own Joan Lewis, of course, Joan's Rome. Check it out at WordPress.com. We'll be right back to let you know what's coming up on a Thursday morning. Stay tuned.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
She was a mystic and reformer who died at the age of 33.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Catherine of Siena accomplished something no one thought possible. She convinced Pope Gregory XI to return to Rome after the popes had lived in France for almost the whole of the 14th century. They've been there ever since.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Don't forget special election coverage coming up here on EW10 Radio and, of course, on EW10 News Nightly and so many other great programs, In Depth, and, of course, Raymond Show, the world over tomorrow night. Tomorrow on this program, we will be featuring, of course, Cultural Connections with Father Mitch Pacwa, getting his take on the elections and how to keep peace and work together. Have a great Wednesday. Talk to you on a Thursday. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.